Hi, this is Bill Farmer. I play Justin Ballard Watkins in the movie RoboCop, and you're listening to Talk Sci-Fi.
Ooh. Hi, this is Jerry Donaldson.
And Eugenia Stapira.
And you're listening to Talk Sci-Fi.
Hi, Jerry. We're back for another podcast.
We are. And?
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about one of the biggest things that have come out of New Zealand, apart from the rugby teams and the new netball teams.
And the Kiwi.
Yes.
And sheep.
And apparently Pavlova and Lamingtons, but we won't go there.
Well, they're actually claiming the flat white now as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's this rivalry between Australians and New Zealanders, whether who invented what first. But we only think of them as sort of, you know, our neighbours over there.
That's it.
And in fact, they can join us whenever they like. When they realise they've made a mistake instead of being part of us and being independent.
But we're going to talk about the influence of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit that has had on the worldwide cinema.
And New Zealand is a beautiful country. We have to say we love New Zealand. We've been there many different times over the years, and it is one of the nicest, most beautiful, friendliest, funniest places on the planet.
Oh, it's just a picture postcard every corner that you turn around.
I mean, to the point where if you've ever watched Monty Python's gondola,
yes,
doco, it is that kind of word when they finally get to not more gondolas. It is like that, because I think I said that one time. Eugenia, my husband, and I went on a trip over there because there was a con on and we had to go to that, of course.
Definitely.
And we got to another lake. And being Australians at the beginning, it was, wow, look at all this water. It's amazing.
Mm.
And by the time we got to the 45th lake or something, it was like, oh, another bloody lake. So, but it was beautiful. It is beautiful.
It's a wonderful country to
visit.
Please
visit it. I mean, it is a fantastic place. And the people are fantastic.
Mm.
Really friendly.
And Peter Jackson, who's directed and written and produced and done everything in these movies, has done an amazing amount of work promoting New Zealand and keeping New Zealand from bankruptcy, really.
Well, he's also, according to one of our taxi drivers, remember one time, he has bought basically the whole of New Zealand.
Just about.
Well, the whole of Hobart. No, Hudson. Oh, so I'm really sorry to Tasmanians.
Wellington.
Wellington. Hobart is a town. It's actually the capital city of our sixth state.
Yes.
Okay. It's an island.
It is an island. But Peter Jackson has done amazing stuff. And
well, I think the scenery helped.
Oh, definitely. But he kept everything in New Zealand rather than outsourcing it to, you know, the States or even to Canada or to Ireland or,
Needed the epicness of New Zealand for that particular movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of those mountain scenes and the travelling over, New Zealand is still a wild country. There's only 4.5 million people on 23 million islands, I think. There's lots of little ones, mm-hmm, isn't there?
But Canada, around, they could have done the same scenery.
They could have up the Rockies way, probably.
Mm. So it's just great that...
But it is great that it was actually done over there. And lots of New Zealand actors got lots and lots and lots of
work out of it.
As did a lot of the, you know, the weapons makers and so on, and well, Weta.
Weta definitely, I think, developed
its skills.
Well,
that was one of his companies anyway,
yes,
wasn't it? So.
But they really came into their own. Yeah,
they're one of the leading production houses of that,
mm,
that type of work in the world.
They are, and they've done lots and lots of other shows that you really don't know. And
yeah,
until you sort of look
into
the things.
To do it in New Zealand, I think.
Oh, very cheap.
Accommodation was cheap, you know, compared to,
yes,
all of those things. The Australian, or the American dollar, I should say, against the New Zealand, mm-hmm, dollar would have been almost double. So in,
yes,
terms of every dollar spent, you got $2 worth of. And New Zealand is not outside the realms of that American thing, except meat is very expensive over there, even though they've got 3,455,000,000,000 sheep,
mm,
and lots of cows now. But it was probably cheaper than to do it over there. And people had to live somewhere for 18 months where they were making The Lord of the Rings. And New Zealand's not a bad place,
well,
for that to happen.
I know I've heard Orlando Bloom talk, and he spent, you know, a good 7 years of his life
basically in and out of New Zealand.
Being in and out of New Zealand in one way or another for, you know, 3-4 years making Lord of the Rings and then coming back and doing a bit of The Hobbit. And so a lot of people,
and
Ian McKellen.
He looks best in all the movies he ever does as Legolas.
With that blonde wig.
As Legolas, I mean.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
He should wear that all the time.
He should. Yeah, it does really suit him.
Much nicer than his curly hair.
And the interview we have is with Jed Brophy, who was one of the dwarfs in The Hobbit, but he also played one of the ogres in Lord of the Rings. So he's had.
He's a New Zealand actor, so he goes around, comes around. You end up in lots of productions over there, but he really enjoyed his time.
Oh, he loves it. And he still talks about it and with fond memories. And in fact, you ask him one question and 25 minutes later, because he just, he exudes, it comes out of his pores how much he loved working with Peter and on Lord of the Rings and then later The Hobbit. And I mean, in The Hobbit, he had a much bigger role.
Well, he was one of the dwarfs. So,
yes.
So he had, Snorri was one of the main characters.
Mm.
And you'd recognise him if you saw him. He was the gingerish-haired, thin one.
Yes.
Quite with bulbous nose and a long moustache.
Plaited moustache.
Yeah. So he was quite an interesting character. And he's been in many other things. Not only, he's been in Shortland Street, which is a soap opera from New Zealand that every actor, every Australian actor could have possibly been in.
It's like the Coronation Street and the East Enders of England.
Or the Neighbours.
Or the Neighbours of Australia. Neighbours and Home and Away.
Have been on TV in England as long as some of those other shows. The Coronation Street, because it's still got. He was also in some other things which you may find really interesting, which is The Minister of Chance, which is a free audio program that you can get down from iTunes, and it's a spin-off kind of story from Doctor Who.
Yes.
So just to lead it back into that sort of other world, and they were really excellent productions.
And they're also looking at trying to make it into a movie at this stage. So they've had a few Kickstarter situations, and they still think that they're going to be able to make it. And Jed hopes to be in the movie as well.
Well, he was a spaceship captain, wasn't he?
He was.
It was quite exciting to fly a spaceship in terms of audio.
And he basically talked himself into the Minister of Charts because, as I said, he likes to talk. And the good thing about Jed is that if he wants to do something, he'll go ahead and make sure that he gets into it or talks to people about it.
But this episode we're going to be talking with him.
Yes.
Specifically
about The Hobbit.
The Hobbit and so on. Check out our other podcasts because we've got an interview with him about the Minister of Chance as well as some other people from it as well. So
we also have more hobbits The Hobbit.
If you're really into it, yes, more dwarfs from The Hobbit. So check out the web address at the end of the podcast and you'll be able to listen to not only Jed and more dwarfs and some of the wizards even and lots of other things and a few knights and we've had quite, because we're only next door to New Zealand, we managed to get a few of them along the way. So check us out and check out the interview with
Jed Brophy.
The industry, obviously, in New Zealand has gone berserk since Peter Jackson took on the Lord of the Rings.
It has.
Is it growing? Like, I mean,
yeah, in terms of the local content, it can only get so big because the funding bodies are getting their tax from only 4 million people. And that makes it very difficult for young filmmakers. The bonus is that the digital age has meant that young filmmakers can afford to do stuff they couldn't have done if they were shooting on Super 35. The other thing is that Peter offers his facility to these young filmmakers for next to nothing. And if it wasn't for the fact that Park Road Post is there as a finishing place, that Weta Digital does a lot of stuff gratis, and that people like Richard Taylor give their time for free, those directors, those young directors, would never have been in a position to make the kinds of films that they can. So definitely the fact that they set up a studio there has been a major bonus for us. And the fact that he stayed in New Zealand, again, a major bonus.
That's right, because he could have gone out quite easily, couldn't he?
Yeah, and it would have been a temptation, too, to go to Hollywood and maybe look at getting big budgets. But he's brought the big budgets to us.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the work comes to our crew. And that's been the single biggest thing is the upskilling of our technical crew. They are some of the best in the world, and you know, with people like Andrew Lesney from Australia who come over, we get the advantage of all of his years of experience, and Peter manages to keep those people wanting to come back to New Zealand. So I think it's been good I think it's been good for a lot of people, actually.
Well, we were in a taxi, and you remember in Auckland, and we one of the taxi drivers was actually saying, Peter Jackson owns this, Peter Jackson owns this.
He built this.
And all that. So obviously he's been good for New Zealand.
Yeah.
And Weta is amazing, isn't it?
Weta is amazing. They do a lot of work for other films that we don't even know about. Yeah. You know, it's not until the Oscars come around that we go, wow, did you work on that?
Mm.
And Richard does a lot of travelling to try and get that brand out there. You know, he's a much traveled person. They make a lot of weapons for medieval films all over the world. They made all the swords for Arthur, a film that was shot in the UK. And because of their travelling, because of the name that they have, a lot of people want to come to New Zealand to see what we do. But a lot of filmmakers want to come there too to use the facilities. And I think that's the single biggest bonus, is that we get the chance to have people like James Cameron come and work in our country, mm-hmm. and that can only be good for the industry, not just for us, but also to get him out of Hollywood,
yes,
away from the machine, because it is a very different animal over there. It's very producer driven, it's very high paid actor driven, and we can't afford to pay actors $10-20 million. Yep. We don't have the kind of money to do that. And I think also when you get the actors coming from the UK and from Australia, they love the fact that we are down home, mm-hmm. more like them. There's a feeling of like, oh, this is just like what we do at home. You know, Martin Freeman said, yeah, it's a lot bigger. But in terms of the friendliness, it's a lot similar to what it was like.
So it's more British than American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to, I have to ask you about The Hobbit. You just look like you must have amazing fun on that film.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of kids in a sandpit with very expensive toys. And it is a family affair, you know. It's having Ian McKellen and Kate Blanchett and Hugo Weaving and Elijah Wood all come back for a return visit to New Zealand. It was like a homecoming. But yeah, the dwarves as a unit are very naughty. We're a very naughty and funny bunch of people, and Peter does call us the little bastards.
Is that right?
We're Australian,
it's fine.
There was a day when we were in Rivendell, we had a food fight, and Hugo Weaving was literally on the floor wetting himself.
Yeah.
So funny, because you don't get to do that stuff on feature films, where you get to actually have that much fun and work that hard but have that much fun. And it was a very social time too, because you know, we wanted to show off Wellington to our friends and take them to good restaurants. We did have a great social time outside of it. Evangeline Lilly, who was there, had a painting thing every Sunday at her house, where if you were interested in art and you wanted to paint, she would buy all of these canvases and you just go there and paint.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. Gee. But it was a way of the wives and the girlfriends having some time where they could be social too while the men looked out.
Yep.
Or the other way around. Her husband could be part of it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your costume too that you were wearing, that was
very
quite
heavy.
A bit different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We just got the wind up, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a difficult job from that. It was fairly arduous, but you know, we were given the heads up before we went into it. We knew it was going to be tough. I gave them the talk. I said, you're working for Peter Jackson, you're going to have to do your own stunts. You're going to have to get fit. And we had 8 weeks of fitness training, and you know, I kept saying to them, you're going to have to do it. Don't think that you're going to be in your caravan while this is going on. Sylvester McCoy had to run around. You know, he said he's never had to do that in 20 years. So it was great. But it was great seeing people embrace it. Ian McKellen at 73 doing his own stunts.
Wow.
Only in New Zealand, though.
Yeah, good old New Zealand. If I hear one more 20-year-old going, oh, I can't be bothered, I'll get some stunt to do it, you go, Ian McKellen does his own stunts, buddy. Yeah. I'm doing the live feed for Peter on next Tuesday.
All right.
Jackson, I'm emceeing.
Oh, really?
Interviewing him, and it's the behind-the-scenes people realise that I do like to talk. It's a bonus for them, and it's also...
So you're going to be on the commentary for The Hobbit, are you?
Yeah.
You should push for that.
Yeah, there will be... There's definitely a lot more behind the scenes stuff in the second or third one. They're kind of rip feeding it. You know, Peter doesn't want to kind of smash it all out in the first DVD, and then the behind the scenes stuff on the DVD that's going to come out is pretty extraordinary.
Well, even the build up to The Hobbit, all the little featurettes and that were put out that you could be watching and get excited about the movie were quite amazing.
I did a five hour interview just before we finished on the
film. 5 hour interview.
And they'll take from that, like they did with Lord of the Rings,
You've been listening to Talk Sci-Fi with Jerry Donaldson and Eugenie Stapira. If you'd like to catch us in our fuller episodes on our podcast, Women Talk Sci-Fi, you can do so at www.womentalksci-fi.com. That's www.womentalksci-fi, all one word, .com. Thank you for listening. Title music performed by Box Cat Games, called Breaking In, available at thefreemusicarchive.org under a Creative Commons license.